It is a very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. And what a freezing cold day it is. I went out this morning. It was -2. -2. Oh, I hate to be part of the whole thing, you know, though. I'm now becoming part of the thing. The thing which is, you know, telling people about the weather all the time. It's a very Irish thing, isn't it? A mate of mine actually moved to Marbella many years ago. And I said to him, what's the difference between living in Marbella and living in Ireland? And he says, nobody mentions the weather. I said, so, but absolutely, because you know that in Ireland we go, a nice day today, isn't it? He said, people don't say that in Marbella because it's always a nice day. Usually is a nice day. Yeah, I heard Micheál Martin yesterday saying that people had weather fatigue. Well, the reason they have weather fatigue is because they're sick listening to the government talking about these weather events, or multi-weather events. That means it can be breezy, rain and snow on the same day. But sure, that's Ireland. It does that all the time. I'm sorry to all the people who might have lost power or might be snowed in around the country. There's not that many, to be honest with you. It's not like Armageddon. And that's what they kind of made it out to be last weekend. It'll be all right by tomorrow. The temperature goes back up again to 3 or 4 degrees. And by the weekend, by the way, we're back up to 10 degrees on Saturday and Sunday, which is really mild for January. So stop moaning about it. Anyway, now, I need to stop moaning as well. One thing that has really changed is religion in Ireland. And I had a brief conversation about this last night on the radio, but I'd extended it a bit more today and kind of changed the angle on it slightly. But so much has changed since the 1970s. The collapse rate of rates of mass attendance from 92% in 1975. 92% of the population went to mass in 1975. In 2022, according to research, 27% or even lower now. The average age of priests in Ireland is over the age of 70. The average age of women in religion in Ireland, i.e. nuns, is over the age of 80. Now, people disagree with the reasons for the kind of existential decline. Many people point to Ireland's modernisation, enabled by economic development and integration into the EU, which led to major cultural changes, most notably advancing the rights of women. Others cite the kind of rightward lurches of Pope John Paul II and Benedict that dashed hopes for the anticipated reforms of married clergy and women priests after the Second Vatican Council. And still others lay responsibility on the reprehensible crimes of forced adoptions, institutionalized violence, sexual abuse and cover-ups. Ireland has produced so many priests and women in religion that there were long waiting lists at one stage for parishes and school assignments. The decline over the last 50 years has been so fast and disorientating. In response to those trends, many parishes in Ireland are now being combined more responsibility is being delegated to lay people and visiting priests from places like Indonesia, Africa, Romania, Poland and South America who have arrived here in Ireland. In the same time, we have seen a huge increase in Islam in Ireland. As it turns out now, up to 2022, there were 83,000 practicing Muslims in Ireland, with at least 2 mosques in every province. That figure is probably notably higher now because in the last 2 years we've seen a huge influx of people and many of those would be Muslim. Although it is still a minority group, only making up a small percentage of the Irish population, the Muslim community's growth is unprecedented and that percentage is getting bigger. But has the decline of Catholicism in Ireland saddened you? And do you think religion helps to control the morals of society? Or maybe you're one of those people who believe this religion always had too much control anyway and should be done with it. Like, has it actually saddened you to see, you know, that those cultures disappearing? Things like, you've seen in America, for example, Christmas disappeared and it became a holiday rather than Christmas. Now, some people still call it Christmas. Little things like that, you know, things like crucifixes taken off walls in schools, religion not being taught the way it used to be in schools, the ethos of the school has changed. All those things, like if you go to England, for example, to get your kid into a Catholic school in England, there's a waiting list because people trust Catholic schools because they bring children up slightly differently. You might not agree with all the morals. You might not even believe in God. Like, I don't believe in God, but if I was today having children right now, I would make sure I put them into a Catholic school, even though I don't believe in God and I'm not religious, because I think the morals of the Catholic Church are good, generally speaking. Now, of course, they were taken to the extreme back in the 50s and 60s, and we saw what happened there. But I want to know, is it a sad day for Ireland that we're losing the cultures and the traditions of Catholicism in this country and seeing this kind of shift? I'm not going to say a shift towards Islam, not yet. But that could happen in the future. Let me know what you think. The number is 085 100 22 55. That's 085 100 22 55. Now, talk to me first about it is journalist from Grip Media, Fatima Gunning. Fatima, hi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
And as a practicing Catholic, does it sadden you to see the decline? I mean, and it's a massive decline, Fatima.
I think that, you know, the overall practice has declined. But I do think that there, in the midst of that decline, there is a tiny, as yet, resurgence where more and more younger people are looking to traditional Catholicism. There's a lot of people, for example, if you go to any of the traditional Latin masses that are said around Dublin, I think you'll see, you know, a very different demographic than the kind of, you know, the grey, older looking congregation that you might see at some of the more Novus Ordo, the new churches where they say the Mass in English. So I think amidst that, you know, general huge decline, which, you know, you cited the numbers there, it is huge. There is a little kernel of hope there for Catholicism.
Why do you think the decline happened? You know, is it obvious? Is it because of, you know, report after report after report back in the, you know, from the 1990s right up to the late 2000s that we've seen all these reports on the sexual abuse and the cover-ups and all that kind of thing? Do you think that played a huge role in people? Or is it just the fact that kids nowadays have more access to information and they're less likely to believe in a God and they're more critical thinkers? Would that be more of the reason?
I think that is certainly the abuse scandals were, you know, they did guillotine it for a lot of people. And worse than the, not worse, that's the wrong word, but like, I suppose to compound the horror of the abuse was how the church, you know, by and large responded to it in many cases by not, you know.
By not responding.
If you read the Bible, like, you know, Jesus says that it's better for somebody to have a millstone put around their neck and be cast to the depths of the ocean and to harm a child. So I don't think that in many cases the response to those scandals was in line with that teaching of, you know, the God that they're supposed to be all representing here on earth. But, you know, I think that it's such a multifaceted issue that it's quite impossible to kind of, you know, point to any one or two, even two things.
There's no doubt that if I go back to when I was a kid back in the 1960s, that religion had this kind of chokehold on society. And, you know, some of that was good. And some of it was clearly bad. You know, the bad stuff was telling us all to judge each other. This idea, and we're meant to be a non-judgmental society. Religion is meant to be non-judgmental. But there was this idea that you judge somebody if they had a child out of wedlock. You judge somebody if they separated in their marriage. You judge somebody, whatever, you know, if they fornicated with a boy down a lane at 16 years of age. You judge all of those people. And it was very judgmental. And the religion was so judgmental that, you know, parents were putting their young daughters at 17 into mother and baby homes to have children because they didn't want the village to know their daughter was pregnant. And all that was imposed on society by the Catholic Church. Now, that has changed. But I think what has happened is the pendulum has swung the other way. And now it's kind of like a free-for-all. And I think we were losing the morals of society. And I'm not religious, but that saddens me.
Yeah, I mean, I do think those kind of issues, like, for example, in South Korea, you know, it's not a Catholic country by any means. I mean, there are a lot of Christians, like mostly Protestants, I believe, and then obviously Buddhists as well. But you have, like, young mothers putting their babies in boxes to be, you know, taken on because single motherhood there is extremely frowned upon, like other societies as well. Like, it's just almost not a thing in Islamic societies, just unthinkable. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that that was a Catholic Irish problem specifically, although, of course, you know, it was a factor. I do think that, you know, as you said, like the pendulum is swinging the other way. Like, we've seen things like that girl on the internet, Lily Phillips, trying to have sex with 100 men in one
thousand.
Day.
I think she suggested 1,000 at one stage. She did the 100, but I think she wanted to do 1,000 and now she regrets it, yeah.
I think that's kind of, you know, an extreme example of the pendulum swinging the other way into this kind of, you know, debased hedonistic society, which I don't really think benefits anyone. And I think that, you know, Catholicism does give people a sense of purpose. And I think one of the reasons why, from what I've heard from talking to people who actually, you know, are attending Latin Mass, is that they're craving rules and guidelines that they're not really finding anywhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, they're craving the sense of purpose. You know, like, you know, I have something to get up for on Sunday morning. You know, maybe that makes me not have that extra pint, or maybe that makes me, you know, focus my energies on something else. And I think that that kind of sense of purpose, and also, you know, the rule book for life, like even if you look at the popularity of somebody like Jordan Peterson, for example, he talked a lot about, you know, your own personal responsibility in life and kind of, you know, shifting the emphasis away from this victimhood culture that we have, you know, so broadly embraced in the West, and, you know, shifting the focus back on you, like you're kind of the master of your own ship. These are the rules that you might consider following. And also the emphasis, I think, on delayed gratification in a lot of situations does put people on a trajectory for success that they might otherwise not find themselves on.
And for people who want to read that book, it's called 12 Rules for Life, isn't it, by Jordan Peterson?
Which an antidote to chaos, yeah.
Yeah, an antidote to chaos, yeah. I mean, we certainly didn't have chaos. Well, it was a different type of chaos in the 1960s and 70s. We now have chaos as well. But again, it's a different type of chaos. So do you think, you know, and I mentioned a few minutes ago, even though I'm not a believer in God, I'm not a Catholic, but I consider myself, this is an odd thing, right? The most Christian atheist, right? Because I believe I have very Christian values and morals, but I'm not a Christian, so to speak. But I think the word Christian can be used outside of religion. I do believe it's a nice word that we can use for people who have a certain sort of standard of morals, right? Conservatives, I suppose. You know, and we're losing conservatism in society, even in the media, with the exception of yourself, and I know Ben is quite religious, and indeed John McGurk and the people in Grip Media, but we're kind of losing that conservatism. If we look across the media landscape at the moment, between RTE and News Talk and Ireland AI or whatever that television station is called now, TV3, Virgin Media, we're kind of losing that conservatism. It's kind of frowned upon almost, isn't it?
I think just one thing, John McGurk is not a practicing Catholic. We also have others in the company who are not. They're not religious. I think a lot of people think that everyone in Grift is Catholic. That's actually not the case. But, you know, I think that there's an issue there when you try to...
But he'd have good morals. John has great, very good morals.
Well,
yeah.
So it's just like, you know, when you try to kind of separate the morals from their origin point, I think that that's, you know, a little bit of an issue. You know, and like, you know, the idea that like all around the world people have a kind of a similar set of base morality, if you go outside, it's actually not true. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of an unfortunate reality of how the world works. So I don't know, you know, you'll see people like Richard Dawkins, I believe, saying, you know, I'm culturally Catholic. And I think I don't know how far that will get us as a society, because if you're kind of, you know, you're kind of digging out the foundations of the house and hoping that the house will weather the storm. I'm not sure how, you know, practical or realistic that is going forward, especially as you mentioned, when we have, you know, large numbers of people who practice quite a staunch religion, Islam, coming in. You know, if we don't believe in anything, essentially, where are our boundaries when we don't believe in anything solid, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I come from a very Catholic family, and you know, apart from the fact that I was born in a mother and baby home, I was brought up by two parents, wonderful parents, who were quite religious. And I think, even though I'm not religious now, I think it was a good foundation. And I think a lot of people, you mentioned a few minutes ago, the foundations of a house. I think we need a foundation for children. It doesn't matter, you know, what happens later in life to some degree. You know, they can have their own mind to decide what they think, you know, how the world started and all that kind of stuff. But I think having a foundation for morals is not a bad thing. But I think we're losing that now with young children as well.
I mean, yeah, if you don't teach them, and, you know, like some of those very like Bible stories for kids, they're taught in quite a simplistic manner, that it is in line with children's ability to understand it at that young age. And, like, you know, having, you know, grown up in Ireland myself, like, obviously, the catechesis in my kind of age group was very, very lacking. Like, I can remember religion class in secondary school. It was kind of like, oh, yeah, DOS. You know what I mean? We didn't really go in.
DOS.
We weren't learning about Thomas Aquinas, I'll tell you that much. It was more like you go in and there's a bit of a speech and then you might be able to draw a picture of Jesus or something. And that was even our kind of first year level secondary school. So I think that one of the issues with Catholicism in Ireland is that people they're not catechized. Like, they don't actually know what the faith is about beyond the surface level. And I think one of the things that's kind of revolutionizing that is the internet, and that you have, like, public figures like Father Mike Schmitz, or there's a priest called Father Dan Rehill, who was actually sexually abused himself as an 11-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. And you have all these voices now who are talking about the kind of things that you wouldn't have heard about in school. And, you know, your parents wouldn't have been able to tell you. And the priest on Sunday probably isn't talking about either. So I think that, you know, that resurgence within decline that I mentioned earlier is attributable a lot to those kind of figures and, you know, the internet.
And do you think the pendulum is kind of swinging back a little bit towards conservatism with Donald Trump being elected in America, who is quite religious? Do you think that the pendulum is kind of swinging back a little bit again? Because we kind of, up to about 2017, you know, the world had gone so woke, it was getting ridiculous. Mm. And we can blame a lot of people for that, including, by the way, Justin Trudeau, who's just resigned. By the way, I was surprised to see Micheál Martin giving him such an applause there yesterday on Twitter and putting out a statement on behalf of the government. Can I just say, by the way, if there's any Canadians listening, I don't go along or support the comments of Micheál Martin. And I'm sure Canadian people are looking at us going, what are those Irish people thinking? Because he was the most unpopular Prime Minister they've ever had. But anyway, I digress. Do you think that pendulum is starting to swing back again? Although it's swinging back, I don't know whether that's going to see a rise in Catholicism in Ireland. I think the decline will continue.
I think that there are signs that it's swinging back in some ways. You know, I think recently on Gripped, it wasn't my own article, but there was a survey about like attitudes between kind of young men and young women, and it seems that the younger men are becoming more conservative while the younger women largely are becoming more liberal. So, you know, you know, in terms of like intersex relationships, that's not great.
No.
But I do think that the kind of the promises of, you know, liberalism and doing whatever you want all the time, kind of within reason, I think that because it's been, what, several decades since that kind of idea like became in vogue, that a lot of people might be seeing that the promises of that kind of movement were actually quite hollow.
Yeah.
You know?
And maybe gone too far too, you know, where kind of where anything goes, essentially. And we've seen that in society. Well, look. It's okay. It was just somebody else had a speakerphone in the background and turned on their phone there. Well, look, I got to thank you very much indeed, Fatima. There's hope for us all yet. Thank you for joining us and keep up the good work.
There's always hope.
Yeah. Keep up the good work in Grip Media as well. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
There you go. Fatima Gunning from Grip Media. And the question I'm asking you is, does it sadden you to see the decline in the Catholic Church and, you know, practicing Catholics in Ireland and the cultures and traditions of religion? Let me know what you think. The number is 0851 122 55. That's 0851 122 55. The number's on the screen there. So there you go. He's way ahead of me. Lorenzo, hi, how are you?
Hi, Nan, how are things?
Good. Lorenzo, I mean, we're seeing a huge increase in Islam and a decrease in Catholicism. Is that good for society?
I think it depends in terms of, I think it's kind of normal with what happened, I think even in recent years with the Catholic Church, that changed a lot in how to approach the problems because they saw that there was a decrease, and to try to get more people in, they totally changed their ideas and values. And that, I think that make the opposite, because a lot of people then don't recognize anymore in the new type of church and this kind of new enterprise. Mm-hmm. While I think Islam never changed. So they never have this kind of change of mentality, even if you see Islam is extremely broad in terms of you can have from the Sufi to the total terrorist extremism.
That's what I'm saying. Well, just like Catholicism and just like every religion, there's different interpretations, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, kind of, yes. But the difference, I think, is that Catholic countries are mainly Western, obviously. And in Western countries, we are more educated, while in the Muslim countries, they are less educated and they rely more on the imam. So it was basically how it was for us centuries ago, that you have to, you couldn't.
Well, we were the same back in the 1960s. We relied on the parish priest. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now you're more like there is more information, you have more access to different ideas.
But is that a good thing? I'm not even religious, and I think that's a bad thing. You know, I'm conservative, but I'm not religious. I don't believe in God or believe in religion. I don't support or follow any religions. I respect people who do. But is it a bad thing that we're losing those cultures, that we're losing that? There was a time, as I said to Fatima, where the Catholic Church had too much control in Ireland, way too much control, right? And now the pendulum has swung the other way and they have no control at all. And I thought some of that control and some of those morals, you know, teaching those morals was a good thing. But we've lost all that now.
I think, I mean, morals is more kind of personal. I mean, it's, again, as you were saying...
It may be personal, but there's a set of guidelines, isn't there? It may be personal, but there is a set of guidelines that people used to go by. You know, when it comes to dignity and when it came to shame and when it came to all of those things. But we don't have those anymore. It's kind of like a free-for-all. Do what you want.
But, I mean, even those things, it depends because... it's not that if you're not religious, it makes you a bad person. You can still have morals if you're taught by your parents. The only problem I see is if the religion goes against the law, then is another problem.
Well, of course, because absolutely,
Because if you set up rules and then that religion goes against the rules, then you have to change the rules or say, no, you can't do that.
No, the state law has to be the law. The law has to be the law. And we had that argument going back many years ago when the church abuse happened in Ireland, where bishops didn't report things to the police. And the reason they didn't report it because of canon law and the seal of confession. And we had that whole argument that state law supersedes any religious law and always should.
The problem is that it's not always this case. So the only problem I have with the rise of Islam is that Islam mentality and Islam religion crush with Western society and Western beliefs and rules. That's the only problem I
No, it doesn't. See. Yes, it doesn't fit in with our values. No, not at all.
Yeah. So that's the only problem in terms of if there is a rise of Islam, but then there is still the mentality of, oh yeah, you can do whatever you want. And then if you say to them, no, you can't do that because it's against the law, then you're going to be the racist and against the religion thing.
No, but we've seen that with the grooming gangs in the UK at the moment, yeah. Anyway, getting back to, say, the other stuff, like, you know, things like Christmas, Easter, you know, and people removing crucifixes from schools because it doesn't, you know, other religions don't want them there, all this kind of stuff. These kind of little changes, you know what I mean? You know, calling Christmas a holiday rather than calling it Christmas. You'll see this year, again, Cadbury's will bring out their eggs, you know, for Christmas, and for Easter, and it won't have Easter written on it. It'll just have egg, you know, because they don't want to insult people or offend people.
No, the best answer I can give you is an interview I've seen a few days ago to a guy on an Italian TV show about Islam and immigration. He is Muslim, and he was saying, if you are a Muslim or whatever religion or whatever you are, and you're coming in a country that has his own tradition and culture, you cannot expect to change them, because if you're coming to that country, means that you are okay with that country 100%. It's not okay. It's not that you're going to a country and saying, I like this and that, but I don't like those, so you have to change those.
Yeah.
Because by changing those, you're changing all the country, and then the country might become the same country that you are leaving. So if your country is an Islamic country and is oppressive and so on and blah, 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 and you're coming to a Western country that is not oppressive, is open-minded, is respectful, you can't expect that country to change as you want, because what you want might transform that country in what it was a starting point.
No, I get the point you're making. Lorenzo, listen, thank you very much indeed. I've got to get two people very quickly. Thank you, Lorenzo. Let me go to Nuala, and I'll come to Joe and John then. Nuala, hi, how are you?
Not too bad at all, no.
I'm spending too long talking to people. I get too interested in this conversation. That's what happens to me. Anyway, sorry, Nuala. And then they give out to me and they say, you've 9 more callers there to go, Niall. What's going on with you? Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of the religion in the past in Ireland was kind of respectability. It wasn't any conviction, because I have friends now, maybe a bit about my age, but I find that they didn't really, don't really believe. You know, I mean, they'd be getting older now and kind of they wouldn't be sure whether there's anything there or not at all, even though they would continue to go to Mass. Like, they haven't really... There's a kind of a thing with the born-again Christians that kind of say everybody has to go through their own conversion. Mm. And I think there's a certain amount of that, that there comes a state in life where you kind of make the decision, is there something there or is there...
I think fear tends to keep people, particularly older people, believing in God and believing in religion. Because if you're getting close to the day that you're going to pop your clogs, you're kind of hedging your bets, aren't you? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but when we years ago, I used to go out on the street with a group that I was in, and we used to talk to people about God. And we did it in Dublin, and we did it at the beer festivals, we did it in Ballyvaughan, Fleckhill, and, you know, I used to enjoy talking to the Dubs because they thought about, you know, they thought about it a bit. Where then I go
around.
Did you go around
preaching to people? Are you like a God botherer? Were you a Bible basher?
Not a Bible basher now, but we used to go out on the street in Grafton Street, O'Connell Street. And,
oh, you were one of those?
You know, I did. Yeah, and even in Copenhagen we did it as well.
Yeah.
But we weren't kind of pushing religion. We were just more or less talking about the idea of God, you know, and that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I found that when we went around the country then, say, even here in Galway, that people were boring.
Yeah.
They were kind of saying, well, I go to Mass, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, this kind of idea of a personal relationship with God was foreign to them. They just did the things, whatever they were supposed to do, they did them. And now I find the same people resent that they had to do them in the past when they didn't have to do them. They just didn't question anything.
Well you're saying they didn't have to do it, but we kind of did. We were kind of forced into it. Like, I remember being, you know, 9 and 10 and my dad sending me to the Mass on a Sunday morning. And when I came home, it was like an investigation. You know, who was saying the Mass? What was the priest's name? What was the gospel? So we were kind of forced into it. You were kind of shunned. If you even suggested you were an atheist or didn't believe in God in 1960, you were kind of shunned. But I mean, look, we've seen a massive decrease from the 1970s, from 92% right down to now, probably around 20% of people going to Mass, right? So, I mean, does that worry you, Nuala? Does it worry you that we're losing those kind of rules and guidelines for life?
No, it doesn't bother me that much, because I said to myself, well, it only took 12 to start with. And that's increased to millions. So, like, it doesn't bother me because
billions,
I think...
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, like, if you see somebody, they say faith is caught, not taught. And you see somebody with conviction, that impresses you. And I think maybe a lot of young people today, they see Muslim people with conviction, and that affects them.
Does that worry you that Islam is actually on the rise?
Not really. I just kind of think everybody has to find their own way in life, and what other people are.
Yeah.
I think maybe in the 70s there was a kind of a group in Dublin called the Children of God, and there was an awful lot of followers. They're kind of half hippie followers. I don't know where they are now, but they kind of came to a sad end.
I remember the Hare Krishnas as well. Do you remember they used to go through town, the Hare Krishnas?
Oh, yeah, up and down O'Connell Street.
That's right, yeah.
Bells or something like that.
Hare. Thank you, Nuala. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you?
Not too bad, Niall. How are you doing? You're good.
Good, I'm great. Joe, in relation to religion in general, you know, the disappearance of religion, is that a bad thing or is that a good thing for society?
I think it's a very bad thing for society, Niall. And I'll give you an example there. I don't know if you remember there during the lockdowns, there was a video circulating there online. I think it was actually circulating again last year of a priest up in County Mayo. Do you remember? He was. He invited one of these imams into the church to do the call to prayer, and there was controversy at the time because, as you remember, there was a chap from Donegal who's very well known in circles. Actually, confronted the priest, and he actually called him a heretic for what he was doing. And the priest was actually trying to deny it, saying that your man was a bigot, like, you know?
Yeah. Well, that kind of goes against, against the rules to practice Islam in a Catholic church, doesn't it? Yeah.
It does, yeah. And the video, like, there was your man inside the church and he was doing his, you know, the way he was carrying on, like,
the prayer.
And, Your man had no intentions of bowing down to pressure or anything.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to do your Islam or your Muslim call to prayer, whatever it is, and you have to point towards Mecca five times a day or whatever it is, you far but away you, do it. But I suppose not in the Catholic Church is not a good idea.
Yeah, but do you know that there was reports going around that they were actually experimenting with that atmosphere. In the last couple of years behind closed doors, and people didn't know anything about it. Because you remember there when all the churches were closed during the COVID, first telling people that they couldn't go to Mass. There was a lot of reports going on that they were actually doing a lot of that stuff.
Well, what annoyed me during COVID in relation to that, so they told Catholics they couldn't go to Mass, right? And the churches were all closed, etc., etc. But yet they accommodated Islam by giving them Crow Park. Do you remember that?
I do, of course, And remember they had 200 people at the event.
And then they did it again there only recently. And I'm going, why are you doing it now for? COVID's over. Stop doing it. You don't need to do it.
But with another thing too, I don't know, do you know that Mary Lou McDonald, there was a gang there before Christmas, a gang of the Shinners, the so-called...
Oh, I know, the Shinners were there the last time too, yeah, that's right.
They were protesting at I think it was the Pro Cathedral, where they tried to interrupt one of the masses there, and they started giving out to the priest, saying that he should have, that he should be accommodating all religions and all this stuff.
And there was nobody actually
put a stop to it, and I think this is where the problem lies now.
Okay, and you think the decline in Catholicism is a bad thing for society, generally speaking, you believe?
It is a bad thing for society now, because if you don't have the traditional values, your society and your country breaks down, and that's what's happening. And it's getting out of control, really, at the moment, you know, because you have politicians and the woke lefty media who are promoting this kind of nonsense, and it needs to stop.
Okay, Joe, thank you very much indeed for that. Let me go to John. John, hi, how are you?
Oh, thanks. Just as well that your man didn't try that in a Cork church anyway.
Oh, yeah.
The call to prayer, because they tell you he wouldn't do it if he was in the church anyway.
Oh, you know, he wouldn't do it if you were there, John. No, I can tell you that now. There'd be a protest outside immediately.
If the priest railed up on...
Well, they're doing it all across the UK. In the UK currently at the moment now, Islam have taken over a lot of churches. Because the populations in some of the small towns around, particularly London and Birmingham, places like that, are now Muslim populations, primarily Muslim populations. And the churches were going to close down because there was nobody attending them anymore, because all the Catholics are gone, the Protestants are gone. So Muslims are now taking over the church buildings.
And the same thing will happen here, because I can walk to three churches within 20 minutes from my house now, where I'm on the phone to you, right?
Mm.
But the thing is, I say less than 5 years, one of those churches will be gone.
Yeah, there's nobody in them anymore, John. There's very few people in them anymore.
Well, we had a great priest here in Belfihan, the home of the water, anti-water campaign, and Father Murphy, God bless him, he was a great man. But the day he finished up and he retired, he gave a brilliant sermon off the altar, and he said, listen, if you want the doors of this church to stay open, you have to go to Mass.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the doors will close. Now, what will happen? One of those three churches, if they do go in my vicinity here, I mean, it's quite possible, not too far away, in an industrial unit, there are hundreds and hundreds of Muslims every Friday doing the call to prayer, right? And that one of those churches will be grabbed. And as one man said to me, I'm not saying it, I'm just relating back what he said, if that happens, John, he said, I know it will be deconsecrated, but he said, I personally would burn that building to the ground.
No, I wouldn't. I don't want people burning buildings to the ground now.
That's what's out there, because people are... Look, you see, the thing is with the whole Islamic thing, right? They're here for the long haul. And if you could get into a time machine and go forward 50 years, you won't recognise this country. If it continues on, the people pouring in here...
Well, I mean, if the current figures continue the way they're going at the moment, I'm not a mathematician, I can't work it out, but I'm sure somewhere between 50 and 100 years' time, there'll be more Muslims in Ireland than Catholics.
They will. And you see, the one thing about Catholicism, look, sure, it had a lot of faults, right? But society had faults as well, that time there. The government allowed the modern baby homes. The people themselves and their daughters got pregnant, put them into these homes. Why didn't they keep them at home?
Like John, we've been through this argument before. The reason they didn't was because they felt pressure from the parish priest or from the church at the time not to have a pregnant daughter in the village because it was shameful. They were told it was shameful.
I know a person in the suburbs, right? Well, the woman's of good age, you know, and she has passed on. But she got pregnant, and the same thing happened again. There was pressure put on. But her family said, no way. This girl is staying in
And that's all well and good, but my mother lived in Aran Quay, right? My biological mother. She lived in Eden Quay or Aran Quay, in around there somewhere. And she was living on her own, I think, as far as I know. She was single. And, you know, and she got pregnant, obviously, with me. And, you know, locals would have been looking at her. The local priests would have been looking at her. Look at her. She's not even married. And look at her. She's up the duff. You know what I mean? And that would have been quite shameful in those days. And it was shameful because the church said it was shameful. No other reason.
But like, it was shameful in society. Like, why didn't people just stand up and look at her? Like, this guy, you know, there's a case here in Cork, right? And I know for a fact it was a former councillor who I'm not going to name, right? But he openly admitted on local radio, right, that her father brought her up to Dublin, right, rather than put her into the place in Cork. But he sat in his care. He watched his daughter go into a bunch of strangers, right?
I know.
And his future grandchild growing inside and that. No, who was it for there?
No, I understand what you're saying. I'm not removing the fault completely from the parents who put their daughters into mother and baby homes. But I'm saying those parents felt under pressure to do that because Catholicism had such a stranglehold on society in relation to the morals and the shame that they were told to feel about having a pregnant daughter out of wedlock. So that they kind of felt they had to.
But just moving away from that, the whole idea.
Okay, losing religion. Go on, sorry.
Look, you see, it kept people on an even keel. It kept them with a conscience. They were equipped with a conscience. I mean, there was also a great social part of it that people, the churches were full every Sunday. People congregated outside. They met their neighbours. They hadn't seen for the week. They had chats, the local news, whatever. And it was a great social event, you know. And sadly, no, I mean, that no, you get it still in the rural areas, but it's dropping off there as well. And like in my parish, you see, you know, I mean, one church in particular is very, very packed to the roof every Saturday and Sunday, right? The other two are quite enough, right? Because a lot of the other people have died off. But I mean, if you want the faith to survive, lads out there listening, if you believe and if you're giving out about the Muslims or whatever, fuck off out of that now. Get up off your hole and go to Mass.
Okay, thanks for that, John. Lorraine, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Good. Lorraine, does it sadden you? Because I'm looking here. There's a message here from Richard in Dublin. He says, hi, Niall, I'm an atheist, but I'd much rather align myself with a Catholic people than an Islamic culture. We need the least amount of Islam in the West as possible. The ideology is not compatible with the Western values like freedom of speech, expression, rights of women, gays, and other minorities. Islam is a militant ideology with a mandate to rule the world by force. Irish people are generally extremely naive, the tenets of Islam, and mistakenly believe that it's a religion like any other. But he goes on and on and on. Okay. Yeah, I get the point he's making. I mean, I'm not religious, but I'd rather have Catholicism than Islam in the country.
See, I have got faith. I am religious. Like, I got very involved in the church. My kids are making their communion and confirmation this year, so I've been helping out in the church, and I've been volunteering, and I've been going to my, like, I've gotten very involved in the church. So I just think it's sad. It's sad to see the way it's going. And as John said, everyone's there going, oh, we need this, we need that. Go to Mass. It's the only way to save it. The churches are dying off. Everything is dying off. And as everyone said, like the Muslims, that's taken over.
Let's not catastrophize it yet. It's not taken over. Yes. It's still a very small percentage of people. Well, I say small percentage of people. At this stage, it's probably 100,000, maybe a little bit more, I don't know, Muslims in Ireland. But the thing about it is, they do practice their religion, unlike Catholics who are kind of a la carte. You know what I mean?
There is. That annoys me. Like, people who get their kids baptised and all that just for the sake of doing it. What's the point? You're a complete and utter hypocrite.
I would have argued, I would have agreed with you on that at one point, but then I see it from a cultural point of view. Like, we celebrate Christmas. I celebrate Christmas. I'm not a Catholic. So, you know, am I a hypocrite for doing that? I celebrate Easter. I love Easter eggs. But I'm not a Catholic. Am I a hypocrite for doing that? You know, when my kids were young, I got them baptized. I wanted to get them into the school across the road. And then when they were making, they made their communion because the other kids in the class are making their communion. Communion is like a little traditional thing in Ireland. It's not just about religion. There's very few kids walk down the aisle thinking, I'm going to Holy God. No, they're thinking, how much money am I going to make? So what I'm saying, those things have become kind of traditional. Getting married in a church is traditional. They're very traditional things. They're more so than just being religious.
Oh, I get that. I do get that completely. And it is, as you said, it's part of the Irish tradition. But unfortunately, that's dying out now as well. Getting your child baptised, not an awful lot of people do it anymore because you do have more of the schools. It's not just getting them into a Catholic school anymore. You do have more of the other schools and stuff. So that tradition is dying out as well. Like it is, it's for someone, as I said, I do. I go to Mass. I do believe. I do practice Catholicism.
Yeah, but you don't, yeah, but you don't believe in everything in Catholicism. See,
no,
and the difference between you and Muslims, generally speaking, is Muslims believe everything that's in the Quran. You don't believe everything that's in the Bible. And most Catholics don't. So, for example, you know, you're a logical person. You know that, you know, what's his name? Jim, not Moses, the other lad who was 40 days and 40 nights. Noah, that's him, You don't honestly believe that he had 2 million animals on a boat for 40 days and 40 nights and it was only four of them looking after them. You just think that's impossible, right? I would like to think you think that's impossible. But they're nice stories. But, you know, when it comes to Islam, they believe everything that's in that book. And they practice their religion very strictly. So that's the difference between Catholicism and Islam.
It is. It's a completely but as I said, as you said, like, do you want to hang your hat on Islam, or do you want to see Ireland still be a Catholic, like, still have the values and the views of a Catholic country?
I like the values, because I'm a conservative. But I'm not religious, but I'm a conservative. So I have conservative values, which are probably like Catholic values.
Yeah. But I just think, to me, it's quite sad. It is sad. Like, I go to Mass. The last time I went to Mass was at Christmas, and even the church was half full of Christmas at that point. Like, normally when you go to Mass at Christmas Eve or Christmas Day,
you can't get in the door. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't get in the door. And now you see the church is half full.
Mm.
Like, it is, unfortunately.
And you know, I remember at Christmas, that, like, in Eadmore, where I used to live in Eadmore when I was a kid, there'd be like six Masses on Christmas Day morning. And there'd be two or three the night before as well.
You'd have midnight Mass and you'd have the Mass before it and stuff. And unfortunately, they're dying out now. Like Easter Mass, all of them Masses, unfortunately, there's nobody going. And you're seeing has less and less churches.
But there's less and less priests. There's hardly any priests left. Yeah. They're nearly all dead. They are what they are.
My auntie's a nun, so.
Well, is she over 80? Yeah, she's over 80, isn't she?
No, she's not. She's only in her 60s.
Okay, but there's very few. The majority of female... it would be over 80, and the majority of male priests would be over 70 now in Ireland.
70, yeah. Unfortunately, it's dying. It is unfortunately, it's dying, and nobody wants to get into it. And I just think it's so sad. There are traditions. It's not that it's built into Ireland, but it is our traditions. They're all dying out, unfortunately. It's the lack of people going to churches. It's the lack of people. People will say they're religious or they stick on their census form, they're Roman Catholic, and yet they won't go to Mass. They won't.
Okay, so overall, do you think Catholicism has been a good thing or a bad thing for Ireland in general?
I think it's been a good thing, but at the same time, I'm not going to defend it completely. We know what happened in the church. We know what happened in the past. We know the cover-ups they've had. I'm not going to defend the Catholic Church and what they've done. But the views, and as John said, like, we had a conscience. We all went by what they said and what people thought. Like, I'm not going to, as I said, to me it's a brilliant thing, but I'm not going to defend it. Like,
you're not going to defend the bad stuff,
No, I'm not going to defend the bad stuff. They're not. I'm not going to say they're all saints and they're all the rest of it. There is some.
But we had morals. You're saying maybe morals.
Yeah.
Good morals.
We had good morals. We had a conscience. We did, and it's just unfortunately it's dying out, and it's so sad to see. I just think,
okay.
As I said, I'm only 37, and I still, as I said, I go to Mass. I got involved in the church. I just think it's sad to see the way it's going.
Okay, well, hang on. Let me just go to Stephen as well. Stay there, Lorraine. Stephen, hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad.
Good.
But better this week than last time.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. So, Stephen, is it a bad... I mean, has religion... Well, Catholic religion, of course. Has it been a good thing or a bad thing overall for Ireland?
Well, I think religion... especially Christian religions, has really helped society. And what I actually have seen in the last, I would say, 20 years is the movement from basically to erase Christianity off the out of Ireland. All policies seem to, and we're still getting investigations into the church. We all know, and I mean, all churches were bad. I mean, that's not.
Oh, no, I know. They had problems. They had problems in the Church of England. They had problems in the Presbyterian churches. Yeah, of course they did. Yeah.
But we seem to have decided, well, they're all bad, so we're going to push this neo-leftist liberal nonsense and remove religion. But then you look at what's happening in Ireland. We've actually imported more right-wing Orthodox Catholics from the Ukraine, who certainly don't agree with the import of, and actually I would say, right-wing Islamists. They just don't see eye to eye. And we're sort of sitting, this poor Christian sitting in the middle going, nobody wants us.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what I believe. I do think Christianity and, you know, other religions do bring order. They bring moral standards.
But the problem with religion, and I don't disagree with you, it's a good foundation sometimes for children to have good morals, right? But the problem is, sometimes it goes too far, doesn't it?
Oh, it did, absolutely. Well, I think we're now, England especially, England, Scotland and Europe are especially discovering when a religion gets too much hold of a country or in an area, it causes friction.
As it did in Ireland back in the 1960s, and obviously Northern Ireland as well, because you had two different religions, you didn't like each other, and which is still the case, by the way, in some parts of Northern Ireland.
But absolutely.
Not as bad as it used to be, thank God. But in saying that, it's still... So religion can cause huge problems around the world. A lot of wars have been caused because of religion. We all know that as well.
Yep.
You know.
And I actually think we are going to have severe civil strife throughout Europe between the liberals and the extreme
what I find bizarre is it's the liberals who defend, you know, the extremists in religion, for example, in Islam. It's the liberals who defend that and that behavior, which is bizarre.
I think it's it shows the stupidity of, like, Leo, Michal, all of these politicians. They're not, you know, they say, oh, we're in the middle. They're not. They're left.
I mean, I've seen an extreme left.
I seen a
protest there recently, and it was Gays for Gaza, right? And it was a group of gay people with the pride flags and, you know, Gaza on the pride flag. And I said, go to Gaza if you're gay. See what happens to you. You know what I mean? I mean, you watch what happens when you go to Gaza or go to Palestine. You know what I mean? You won't last long. You'll be hung off a building by the end of the day. So, you know, what we see now is that liberals, and I'm not having to go gay people, but in particular, because most gay people understand that, but, you know, basically protecting the beliefs of a religion who would kill them.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
You know, that's the bizarreness. You know, we've gone from one extreme within 20 years to supporting another extreme, and both of whom had extreme hold on the people that practice their religion. So, you know, we're in danger of just going round and round and round, and nobody ever actually figuring out that we're going to destroy ourselves in the end. You know, Ireland will just be, you know, there are so many films that you have seen where Ireland just becomes a big ghetto, where you have all the different gangs fighting each other, using religion as a thing, and then you'll have the atheist party and their religion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I'm an atheist. You know, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. But I am very conservative in my views.
Oh, absolutely. And that's, I think that's why you allow both sides to come on all the time and have a debate. I think it's fantastic.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Stephen.
And we can argue.
Yeah.
And like the other Stephen that you have on, if I met him, it would probably nut them.
You don't, that's liberal Stephen who comes out on a regular basis. Okay, but listen, Stephen, thank you very much indeed. I need to go to Darren, but first I've got to go to Sharon. She's waiting a bit longer. Sharon, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. I'm good, thanks.
Good.
Good to have this discussion today.
I'm surprised, by the way, but it just goes to show you the demographic of my audience, because I'm a conservative. The majority of people listening, they're coming on the air, are defending religion and the Catholic Church.
Yeah. Mm. Well, my granny left me that lovely legacy of getting together at night and saying a few prayers. And I think a lot of families in this country could do with doing that at night. Mm. You know, not that it's ever going to happen, but, you know, this taking stock in the evening. And one of the best things I was taught in Catholic school was examining your conscience. And that really stood to me over the years. You know, to review, what were you kind during the day? Were you not kind? Were you a bit mean about something? Did you do something that you felt was wrong? You know?
Yeah.
And then when you would pray about it and you would be sorry for it, you felt set free.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
of it. You had dealt with it.
But I did mention earlier on, if I go back to old Ireland when I was a kid, you know, religion had too much control. Now I believe they have too little.
Yeah, things always seem to go in extremes. I would say I became more of a Christian and left the Catholic part of me behind. I mean, I still pray, I still go into churches, I light candles, and I still pray in the church, but I don't go to Mass on Sunday, I have to be honest, you know, but I still feel like I'm close to God, and I have a relationship with Him where I talk to Him every morning, every night.
And do you think that's missing in society and missing from particularly young people now? And somebody mentioned earlier on, you know, that girl, you know, who seems to be really popular at the moment, who, you know, thinks it's exciting to sleep with 100 men or 1,000 men in one day. You know, that those kind of morals
that's
in society.
Just bad.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Those kind
of morals Jesus would have taught would explain that is not going to, you know, his morals were, the Catholic Church did teach good values,
yeah.
But they did go too far in not allowing contraception. All that kind of thing was ridiculous, I think, you know.
But at the time, maybe that was, it's hard to know because there were different times. And obviously from the Catholic Church point of view, the only time you had sex was procreation or reproduction. So that was the reason why they banned contraceptives.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, in some ways, I'm glad we've modernised.
Well, I think we do have to modernise to some degree, obviously. Anyway, listen, thank you for that. I appreciate you coming on, Sharon. Let me just read this out. I just want to read out this message first before I go to my next caller. Hi, Niall. Regarding your question of whether religion is dying out, I'd say no, it's not. As a 28-year-old Catholic, very active in my parish through ministries like the parish council and the Eucharistic minister, I see firsthand that there's still a strong hunger for faith. Some ceremonies are still packed, and while weekly mass attendance isn't what it used to be, it's regularly attended by both young and old who genuinely want to be there. I've also noticed the simple encouragement works wonders. Recently, some of the lads have joined me for mass, and more recently, my girlfriend came along as well. Each of them had a positive experience, which shows me that there's a potential for faith to make an impact when people open up to it. And that comes in from Darren, and Darren joins me as well. Darren, thank you very much indeed for sending in that message, a really nice message. But you believe there is an opening there for young people to come back to religion. But I see the problem, Darren, is young people nowadays are different. You know, they've more information. They're not as susceptible to faith as they used to be.
Right, how are you? Yeah, I agree exactly with what you said there. I do know, though, myself from my own experiences, you know, with friends and family and young people in general, there is definitely a vacuum there at the moment. From the decline of the church in the last, you know, couple of decades,
there is a massive decline.
A massive decline, but there's a vacuum there for people, you know, a spiritual vacuum. People are looking for something, they're looking for a deeper meaning. And it is a massive decline, but from my own experiences, mass attendance, as I said, has dropped. But still, there is certain ceremonies that are packed, you know, Christmas, Easter. Then we have a mass that's done yearly for the dead. I mean, these are packed masses of people that come along, you know. Mm. As I say, when I, you know, some of my friends, they wouldn't be practicing Catholics. And if I said to them, come on, we'll go to mass and we'll go for a few pints afterwards, and they come along, And afterwards I say, you know what, I actually feel better about myself. I feel good after that. You know, there's something in it. There's a sacredness to it. And, you know, we can say that the church obviously has done massive amounts of wrongs. But, I mean, the positives of it, I mean, it's our cultural identity, you know, then education. About
Are we losing our identity then? Is Ireland losing its identity?
So, yeah. Yes, 100%. Yes, it is. Of course it is. And, I mean, it's losing its identity. And I think that it's being targeted by the government as well. You know,
I wouldn't disagree with that.
I think that they're, you know, just take for a simple instance there, the Christmas lights in Dublin, what is it called? The winter lights. They want to take all of our, you know, these cultural values away from us to kind of be a more liberal and progressive, if that's what
I mentioned to somebody earlier on, and Easter's on the way, of course, and Cadbury's will bring out their eggs. They're now just called eggs. They're not called Easter eggs anymore.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're trying these little silly things, yeah. And I know they're only small things, but they all make a difference, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But look, I think as well, you know, the church in Ireland at the moment, the leadership is extremely weak. And it's not something that we need at the moment. We need a strong leadership. When is the last time that you hear the, you know, the leaders of the church coming out and speaking up on things? You don't want to hear.
I haven't seen Dermot Martin on television. Yeah. I'm assuming he's still the bishop, is he, the archbishop? Yeah. I haven't seen him on TV or radio in years.
Eamon Martin. Primate of all Ireland.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't hear from him. You know, there's no guidance coming from the top down, which is unfortunate because it's what people need. And as I say, I think that if there was proper catechesis as well to teach the faith as well, a lot of people are lacking, even people that go to Mass every week, they actually don't know their faith very well. And how can you develop a good culture, you know, a good faith culture if you don't even know what you're proclaiming, you know what I mean?
I mean, I have to say, even though I'm not religious, I believe the values of the Catholic Church are good to instill in children at a young age. Now, you don't have to instill everything about, you know, Catholicism, but the foundation for those values and those morals, because I think we have gone from a point, as I mentioned earlier on, where the Catholic Church had too much control over society to now having none at all. And it's like the pendulum has swung so far now that it's like a free-for-all. And I believe that children are growing up with no values, no morals, and not all children, obviously, but some. And I don't think that's good for society either.
Exactly. I agree with that again. And I think it is down to... I think that the church will have to kind of step up to, you know, and try and help young people. And as I said, there is definitely a vacuum there. There's a vacuum there. And if we don't, you know, try to counteract this, you are going to get...
But how are they going to counteract? You can't even get priests anymore. They're nearly all dead. You know what I mean?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say that. Last year, 22 men went in to start the diocesan studies. That's the highest in over a decade, you know? So, I mean, the thing is changing...
My fear and the fear of other people is that vacuum is now starting to be filled by a different religion, by Islam.
That's true. That is true. It is true. And I mean, how you go about tackling that, I don't know. But I do have hope for the church in Ireland. I think that people will come back to it as well. And I think that we need to understand that our government is definitely against us in our national identity in most things.
But the government are busy protecting every other religion and every other, you know, culture in Ireland, but not protecting our own.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, listen, Darren, thank you very much indeed for your message and thank you for coming on and talking to us. I appreciate it as well. Let me go to Joseph. Joseph, hi, how are you?
Hey, no, thanks for having me on.
Good, Joseph. Joseph, you've listened to Sharon and Darren and everybody else. Actually, most people who come on today are defending the Catholic Church, which surprises me, because there was a time everybody would be giving out about them. And I think they're defending them out of fear, because they don't want to lose it.
No, I think there has been a big reawakening in Irish culture that, you know, the Church was actually good. And a lot of it was, you know, over the last 40 years, you'd say, the Church was constantly attacked from every side, as you just said. The politicians.
Well, now, in fairness, they did give people reasons to attack them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And just now we have, you know, grooming gangs over in England, which is, I think it sounds even worse than anything the Catholic Church ever did. But
you know, you got to understand that the good the Catholic Church have done for Ireland far, 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 far outweighs those few, and there were few, really horrible, horrible paedophiles.
Yeah, but it wasn't just the few paedophiles. And you're right, it was only 1.5 or 2% of priests that were actually, you know, sexually abusing children. But that wasn't the problem. Well, it was the problem, obviously, but the bigger problem was that the whole church covered it up. That was the bigger problem.
Just like we're having now, we're having the English government, and I think even the Irish government, covering up the sexual abuse that has been going on for kids. So clearly nothing has changed in the mentality. We're still, that practice is still happening. It's just different set of paedophiles, a different set of fancy clothes on. But there is definitely a reawakening to say, look, we do need values, and we definitely need to come back to our Catholic faith. I only came back to my Catholic faith in my 30s. And it does happen when you start thinking about society, theology, you know, my future, my kids' future. These sort of things become important. When you're in your 20s, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll and all the rest, and you don't like being told what to do. So the Catholic Church need to really get a kick up the arse and say, how do you connect with 20-somethings? And I hope that there's some great people out there like Jordan Peterson and Redeemed Zoomer and a few others on YouTube and social media. And these young 20-somethings are listening to it. They're desperate. They're crying out for this sort of content where people talk to them about the meaning of life and theology and how do you behave yourself and what is right and wrong and what sort of person you want to be. I mean, there was when Jordan Peterson came to Dublin, I think the tickets sold out in 20 minutes less. Something crazy. And it's all these young men. And it's all those type who are the most...
people who need guidance is what you're telling me.
Absolutely. They need the guidance. They need the Catholic Church. And the role of the church...
Well, they're not necessarily deciding. Need the Catholic Church. They need the Jordan Peterson, obviously. And he gives good guidance in their eyes. But they need guidance. And I don't want that guidance to come from Islam. I would rather it come from the Catholic Church if it was by default. But I agree with some of the values of the church, but not all of them, because some of them are quite judgmental.
Yeah, how those values are given is, you know, when you say judgmental, that's of a certain time, right? How it was preached in the 1920s, 30s and 50s is not how it could be preached now, the same Catholic values. So, yes, it's going to have to be a slightly different Catholic Church in how they connect to people, how they outreach, how they spread the message. But the message is going to be the same. And I think, you know, it's not comparable with Irish values to say that, you know, people are just going to go to Islam or other religions. Because it's fundamentally very different from everything we have and know in society.
By the way, Sharon, does it worry you that Islam is growing stronger in Ireland? Does that worry you?
I have to be honest, it does, Niall, because if you think, how would we like to think this world would be for our children? You know, it frightens me to think that those over-idealistic values would take over.
It is mind-blowing. Yeah, it is mind-blowing that the liberals who hate Catholicism and hate religion, these liberals, and we know who they all are, those political parties, they're the ones who constantly defend Islam, and they defend people with extreme religious views.
They don't know what they're talking about.
Sorry?
Yeah. They're not consistent in anything, because the only thing they want to do is destroy what we currently have.
I mean, look at these clowns walking around the city centre, from, you know, chanting from the river to the sea. You know what I mean? I mean, and these are liberals, and they're basically chanting what inherently is defending a religious ideology. That's extreme.
Yeah, and this is imported values. This is something that's been actively brought in and pushed on a number of Irish people, gullible enough or without any current values, that they just accept what they're told. So, you know, the fertile ground is there for people who don't have a faith to be given whatever they're told. So, unfortunately, we have these mumties going around with all this. That's a different topic, the whole war in Israel.
Yeah, I don't get involved in the kind of Israel-Palestine thing because there's no right answer. And no matter what you say, somebody will disagree with you. But I just find it odd to see people who claim to be peaceful people, liberal people, peaceful people, chanting from the river to the sea and what's the other one? Burn Israel to the ground and all this. And I go, you're talking about killing innocent people. It doesn't matter from what side they're on. You're talking about killing innocent people. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For the last, 30, 40, 50 years going back, there has constantly been at least 4 active wars in the world at any one time.
Yeah.
But you don't often hear about them. There's one going on in Myanmar. There's one going on in Mexico. There's one going on. And they're not an issue because they're not brought up as a culture war thing. They're not being imported here. There is a group of people or interests who want to make this the biggest thing, and they can, you know, bring it in with TV, radio, however they're doing it, social media, and saying this is the important issue that you have to be upset about. And because these people don't have faith, they don't have guidance, they don't have things that are important to me, they just latch on to anything. This is where a lot of the liberal mindset is that I don't believe in anything, so whatever you give me, I will, you know, attach onto it like it is my sole purpose in life. That's what's happening right now. So people without faith, there's no one without faith. They just have faith in the wrong thing.
Stay there for a second, Joseph. Maureen, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Obviously, religion has declined dramatically over the last 30 or 40 years, Maureen, much to your disappointment, I'm sure. Some of it we could do without, but a lot of it we need. Do you think, am I right?
Yes, we do. Well, it's actually the Novus Ordo has declined and the Latin Rite is growing. Thank God, because now you've got to remember we have a new church. We have what I call the counterfeit church, which is the synodal church, which is contrary to the teaching of a Christ taught and contrary to the teaching of the true church, which was before Vatican II. So, yes, it's sad to see it decline in such a way. But then again, that was the plan from the beginning. We now live in this secular society and we want all this secularism and modernism and liberalism. Well, then you have to get rid of not Protestantism or Buddhism or anything like that, Catholicism. That has to go because it always stood in the way. And then, of course, it doesn't help that we have a pope who, in my opinion, is an anti-pope who is teaching completely different altogether. And we know he's going to get the churches with.
Okay, but was he not just making some sort of an attempt? I know he's unwell at the moment. People predict he won't live very long now. Anyway, but was he just trying to modernize religion to bring more young people into it by talking about not judging, you know, gay people?
No, by saying
contraception is okay, all of the... I mean, the church had to modernize somewhat. You can't be living by a book, you know, 2,000 years old when we're not living 2,000 years ago. It's a different world.
No. The Pope has one job, and that is to defend the faith.
But it's sometimes hard to defend the indefensible,
the
you know what I mean?
The church does not change with the times. The church remains the same.
No, Maureen, you're wrong.
I'm not.
The Bible may not change, but the interpretation of the Bible has to change.
No, it doesn't. No, it does not.
Okay, so we're all going to live like we're living in caves.
Hold on. Does the Quran change?
You know that, Niall.
No, it doesn't. The Quran doesn't change. You ask a Muslim to change the Quran.
Yeah, but there's many Muslims out there who have different interpretations of the Quran.
But they're not going to change the Quran. They're not moving with the times, are they? They're still back in the Middle Ages as well. If you want to put it that way.
The church does not move with the times. Sorry, Joseph, what are you trying to say there?
The Pope has one job, and that's the whole of the faith.
Don't change. What is right is right, and it doesn't change if you have a mobile phone or you live in a cave or you do this or that. There's nothing in the church that said you have to live like a, you know, 17th century pilgrim or whatever. That's nonsense. It's saying, here's how to be a good human being, and that's always true.
But you apply those rules to the world you're living in currently at the moment. We're not living 2,000 years ago, so we can't apply those rules. If you go back to the original of the Bible, the first testament of the Bible, you couldn't live by those rules in a modern society. Should we be all dead? We'd be all sentenced to death.
Wait, which rules? Which rules specifically?
Well, I mean, there was death sentences for in the Old Testament. There was death sentences.
Old Testament. Now, wait a minute. The Old Testament is there to give context to the New Testament. The Old Testament is all the stuff the Jews had before Christ. So that can be ignored. The New
Testament. Oh, you just ignore that.
There's a new way of doing things. This is the message from Jesus. It's a complete revolution in the way we think about society and we think about other people. And that's what's important. And you can live a good life now just as you could in the future. If you say, I can change whatever is in the Bible, whatever I believe, because it doesn't fit modern times. All right, what if you know, I can kill someone now because they're
that's
not.
It, no, no, you're taking, now you're taking it to an extreme. What I'm saying is, huh? what I'm saying is, it's okay to say not get married in a church. It's okay to have a separation and have a divorce. I think those things are okay in a modern world. But the Bible doesn't agree with that.
What parts of that do you change and do you accept it, stay the same?
No, like, where do you draw the line? No, what I'm saying is that I understand that the foundation of the Catholic Church or the rules are a good foundation for any child. I get that. And I'm okay with that, even though I'm not even religious, right? And I just said it earlier on. If I had children right now today, young children, I'd be making sure I put them in a Catholic school, even though I'm not Catholic. But in saying that, some of those rules have to change. Now, I'm talking about things like divorce. You can't force people to stay together forever if they hate each other. You know what I mean? That has to be allowed. The church opposed that for years. Sorry? And still do.
In a society where divorce isn't an option, where people commit to marriage from day one and you don't erode the foundation of what they're getting into. If you're telling your kids, get married, but if it doesn't work out, you'll get a divorce, so it's not really a serious thing, then you're eroding
the
marriage.
No, it is a serious thing. No, hold on. I got married. Yeah. I got married and it didn't work out after 25 years. And I got a divorce and I got remarried because I love my wife.
Yeah.
So are you telling me, according to the church, I shouldn't be allowed to get married again?
No. If you went into your marriage saying, I am making this work no matter what, you would act differently in that marriage. You would never give up. And there's a lot of people who have given up on a perfectly good marriage because they said, oh, look, this isn't working out. I'm unhappy right now. Marriage has to be the thing you commit yourself to 100% more than anything else in your life. So, you know, you have to be able to get through the hard times. You have to be able to get through the challenges and say, if I need to change in order to make this work, that's what I'll do. If both people have that mindset going in, you wouldn't need divorce. And so, look, this is just one example.
I'll give you one example, for example. In Ephesians 6:5, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. So what? The New Testament is okay with slavery, is it?
At the time, again, Old Testament, is all right? So
that's New Testament. That's New Testament.
Okay. That was at the time when slavery was practiced, which, by the way, was practiced...
Isn't that all I'm saying? You can't use the book from 2,000 years ago and say, that's okay now. Some of the stuff is not okay now.
Swap out the word slave for worker, right?
But that's not what's in the book. Just start replacing words in it now. Is that what you want me to do?
Huh?
It just replaces words.
No, well, the words were replaced because it's a translation. It's a translation.
By the way, no worker should obey his earthly master, i.e. his boss. Obey. Come on, stop, would you?
Yeah, you should do what
you're saying. You're both misinterpreting what I'm saying, you and Maureen. All I'm saying is, I respect the fact that you both read the Bible and you're both, you know, Christians and everything else. I respect all of that. All I'm saying is that you can adapt. You know, and the idea, Maureen brought this up when she talked about the Pope. All I'm saying is, I don't believe he was such a bad bloke. I think he was just trying to modernise religion to bring more people into it.
Hang on a second. I'm not misinterpreting you. If you're Catholic, you follow what the Catholic Church teaches. The Catholic Church remains the same. It never changes. Again, a pope has one job to do, and that is to keep the faith. He was given the keys of the kingdom, or to Peter passed them down. That's his one job. He cannot change any part of doctrine that the church has taught from Jesus Christ on earth. That is not his job. And if he does, he's an anti-pope.
Okay, do me a favor. Stay there, both. You barely made which in a second. Let's go to Richard very quickly first. Richard, hi. How are you?
Good, Niall. Thanks.
Good, Richard. Nice to talk to you, Richard. Richard, you sent in a message there earlier on, and maybe you can talk about that yourself. Does it concern you the decline in religion in Ireland? Well, in Catholicism.
Yeah, but the growth of Islam in Ireland and Europe throughout the West is very concerning for everybody who's spoken so far, I think. In Ireland, I don't think we can go backwards, even though I'd rather align myself with a Catholic people than an Islamic culture. I'd like to see the least amount of Islam in the West as possible.
That was your text I read out earlier on. Yeah.
Now, with regard to morality, I'm an atheist like yourself. I think we can teach morality to children without religion. It's up to the parents.
No, you can't.
There's a mistaken belief that morality and religion are mutually exclusive. So I'd say teach children rationality and critical thinking.
Yeah, sorry Richard, just for a second. Joseph, yeah. you jumped in there and says, no, you can't. I believe I have good morals. I'm not a Catholic.
Yeah. You were raised in the Catholic country, right? What you have now is cut flower ethics, that we have abandoned everything, but people still hold on to those values. Just like a flower you picked out of the dirt.
My kids weren't raised as Catholics, and they've got good morals. Right? My kids weren't raised as Catholics, but they've got good morals.
Yeah. Yeah, and it takes a few years, decades, generations, I'm not sure, but eventually those ethics fade away if there's no foundation to them.
Stop with that. You're trying to tell me without religion we can't have good morals. I don't agree with that. I think it helps. Hang on, let Richard finish what he was saying. I just wanted to bring that in. Let Richard finish what he was saying. Sorry, Richard, go ahead.
Yeah, I honestly don't agree with that. I agree with you there, Niall, on the morality thing. But I just wanted to say one more thing about the alliance between the left and the Islamists. I think it's explained by the fact that they both want to destroy the West. And if they're successful, then they'll end up killing each other like we saw in Iran in the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
I think the Irish people are in for a rude awakening within the next 50 years, 100 years, if Islamic immigration continues at scale like it is. I'm an atheist, but I grew up, obviously, I was baptised. I didn't have any say in the matter. I was raised Catholic, and in my community, I have fond memories of going to, you know, midnight Christmas mass and enjoying the Christmas carols and everything. And there was a great community spirit outside the church. You talk to your neighbours walking home, and that's gone now. And of course, a lot of people miss that. So I think it's a little bit of a pang of nostalgia more than anything else.
Well, it's a culture, isn't it? It's more of a culture.
Yeah.
And those traditions of, you know, communion, confirmation, Christmas, Easter, all those things, they're all kind of Irish traditions more so than religious occasions for a lot of people.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that I'm culturally Catholic, even though I wouldn't actually identify as such. I'm an atheist, I'm a non-believer, but I'd much rather be around Catholics and Jews and fucking Scientologists than...
I don't know about the Scientologists, but the Jews, I'm not too sure about Scientologists believing in spacemen.
What I say is, look, we can see the decline. Well, then, it's up to Catholics out there. Get off your arses, do something about it.
Mm.
Don't sit back and wait for your churches to be taken over and be turned into mosques. And before we know where we are, we'll all be bowing down and we'll be the infidel and we'll be paying jizya, which is protection money. But when that goes up and up and up and you have no more jizya to pay, you either convert or cure, trying to keep your head on your shoulders.
So
I think
it's
time us Catholics began to stand up and say, no more. We want our churches back the way they were. We want the true faith taught in our churches, end of story.
All right, all of you, hold on there for a second. I need just to go to Bernie. Thank you for that, Richard, and I appreciate you coming on. Stay there for a second, Maureen and Joseph. Let me go to Bernie. Bernie, hi, how are you?
I'm grand, Niall.
Good. Bernie, interesting point that Richard makes in relation to morals. We had a brief conversation about this last night, but obviously I've changed the angle slightly that Islam seems to be growing while Catholicism is declining.
No, yeah, it's not growing.
It is growing.
They're just importing more. No, it's not that Irish people are converting en masse.
Oh, no, I know. No, that's what I'm... But don't be taking me literally. But all I'm saying is that it is growing in Ireland. Because obviously more people are coming in. There's 93,000, I think, Muslims in Ireland now.
Yeah, that's not growing, though, is it?
When I say it's growing, there was very few Muslims in Ireland 20 years ago.
It's moving in. It's invading. Not growing. Growing means, you know, like a plant taken from the soil that's there.
Yeah, but they're going to have children and their children will be... Well, it is growing because they will have children and their children will be Muslims too. So it is
growing.
Again,
invading.
Well, having children is an invasion. Whatever about importing people, but certainly having children is not an invasion. What I'm saying is there are families here who are Muslim who are having children. So the religion will grow. And the difference is they take the religion very seriously, unlike many Catholics. Hold on for a second. Bernie, hi.
You asked, is the religion dying? Yes, unfortunately it is. And it's down to us, the Catholics, the people who are left. Like, I still believe in my religion. I have great fond love for it. I will go to Mass. I will bring my grandchildren to the church, even though their parents don't. I try and instill as best the Christian faith that I was learned from my parents, which I have learned over many years. And yes, I like to see the church is our church. Unfortunately, I don't know why, you know, it's gone down. And like, you know, I see the Protestant people here. We have two churches, one Protestant, one Catholic. The Protestant people are very go to their services on Sunday, and a good few of them. Again, their numbers are falling away due to age and whatever. So it's down to us, the people, to go back into our communities and get the priests back out on the road again. And
yeah, but what priests? What priests? There's very few of them.
Well, we have a priest, and instead of sitting at home waiting to be called for masses, he should be out interacting with the people, like they did in my time. Like we had five or six priests in the parish I grew up.
Yeah, we had six there. Yeah,
and a parish priest, and we knew them very well, and they knew us. They made a point of coming around to the houses, getting to know the people, and we knew where we could go. And like, yes, of course, there was priests that we don't want to know about that, you know, did disrespectful things to people. But they're men. They were men who took that stake, not God. God didn't do it. It was the men portraying to be priests and caring that did a lot of the stuff. So I still believe that God is there. He is part of my life. And I do feel that I need to go out there and do whatever I can to help bring him in back into my community.
Mm. And you think he's fading away from a lot of communities all over the country. And you think that's a bad thing? That is, do you think the morals of society have declined because of that?
It's not that. I feel it's the people are losing out. I feel as a person, I didn't lose out as a child growing up. It brought me to the church. I was involved through the church and I met various people as a child growing up. And I was able to contribute and give back some of the stuff that I was able to, you know, go to the... Do you remember you had to fast for a Gorsa, was it, back in the day? And you sat outside and we sold some papers outside the Catholic Standard.
Gorsa. I haven't heard Gorsa in years. Jesus. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean. And we were in the choir and we were in the Legion of Mary. And, you know, we did all the things willingly. And it taught us to respect and understand people. And that's where I got my love and grow for people. I came to become a nurse because I really wanted to help people, which I saw in our community as I was a child growing up, who were, you know, were on their own. And it was just a simple thing to go in and give them a penny dinner. We used to bring the dinners to them and we'd give them a dinner maybe once or twice a week. And that taught me about respect of other people. And it didn't come from sitting down reading the Bible. It came from actually being actively part of a religious thing, which was Catholicism. And I'm very proud of my parents for doing this for me.
And okay, well, on that note, listen, Bernie, thank you for your last caller today. Thank you very much indeed. Maureen, thank you very much indeed. And Joseph, we appreciate you all coming on the air to talk about it. It's been an interesting one. Galway Girl says, by the way, Niall, I wouldn't like to go back to the influence of the church and society of my youth. It was very repressive and it was controlled by fear. The liturgy is quite boring also, so I can't see how young people would be attracted to it. The real central message of Christianity is about the goodness of Jesus and his message of love and life hereafter. This is what really matters. Not canon law or man-made. If this message could be conveyed in a different way to younger people, I think many would be interested, as it's natural for humans to look for something bigger than themselves to believe in. I don't think young people's morals have greatly declined at all. Most I know are kind, decent and idealistic. Great discussion. Oh, my God. Connor says, by the way, hi, Niall. The left has always sided with Islam until it's implemented as an Islamic state. Many examples throughout history. Yeah, I find it just kind of bizarre the way the left, these political parties on the left, latch on to something which is ideal, which is kind of extreme right wing, to be honest with you. Fellow writes on X says, Irish people should make it their duty to re-engage with the church. Myself and my missus were atheists, both raised by atheists. We're now attending Mass every week. The religion didn't cause the abuses paedophiles did. The religion needs more good people, not less. Derek says, I pray to loved ones who passed. I don't need the church. Religion is man-made. Spirituality is free of rules and control. Lots and lots of messages. Let's play one here just on WhatsApp for you. Hold on, I'll play this for you first. There we go.
Good afternoon, all. This is a great topic. I do understand what you're saying about the numbers of bums on seats in Catholic churches in this country. But I also believe that Christianity is on the rise. You can see it all across Europe now. You can see it especially in the States. And people are getting back to their faith. It's not about the Catholic Church per se as an institution. It's about people just getting back to their faith and trying to get back closer to God. We do not need Islam in this country now as the majority of religion. You know what comes next after that. We can see it in England. We can see it all across Europe, what comes next after that. Like I said, people in Ireland now, you can see there was a march for Jesus in Dublin a couple of months back. There was a couple of thousand people showed up for that, or a couple of hundred. Better that than none. But now I think that what's going on at the minute, people are getting closer, getting back in touch to their faith and getting back in touch with God. And I don't think we're done for just yet, though. I think there is a resurgence on the way. I can see it coming, and hopefully sooner rather than later. Cheers, though.
There you go. That was Jonathan. Thanks for that message, Jonathan. And if you ever want to send us a voicemail, by the way, you can do it on WhatsApp. All you got to do is press the little microphone at the bottom of WhatsApp and send us a voicemail. Please, by the way, do support the show. Everybody come on today, all had a voice. It didn't matter whether I agreed with them or not. They all had a voice. And it's really important that you have a voice in the media, because I can tell you now, in 2025, you're going to have less and less opportunities to have a voice on radio or on television or whatever it happens to be, because the censors are out. Trust me, I know a lot more about this than you might think. And it is going to become very difficult to speak openly, be it on radio or be it on television or wherever it happens to be, because they will be stopping everything. So this will be your only opportunity. They will try to control podcasts as well, but they won't succeed. And I have a good indication as to why they won't succeed. I'll fill you all in on that as when the time comes. But I will continue to provide this platform. But I cannot continue to provide this platform unless you help us. We don't get paid. The only thing we ask for is subscriptions and donations to help us pay for our overheads. The costs are expensive. It is very expensive to do this. Even something as simple as putting those lights on in front of me, by the way. You know, the cost of maintaining everything here, the cost of streaming it, the cost of uploading it, the cost of servers, the cost of our website, the cost of the maintenance involved in that, the cost of everything is expensive. And it gets more, it's got more expensive. So we do need your support and your help. If you can support us and you can help us, please go to our website, nileboylan.com. You can take a subscription for $5.99 a month. It's the price of a cup of coffee for three of us here who all have our own full-time jobs. So we get paid otherwise outside of this. It would be nice if we could make a couple of quid out of it. That'd be great. But in saying that, it's not necessary. We just want to pay the costs. You can subscribe once a month, or indeed you can donate. If you want to just donate a small amount of money, you can just go to the website, nileboylan.com, and just click the donate button, which you'll find in the menu there. Thank you very much indeed to everybody who subscribes and who donates. We really appreciate it. It helps so much, and it helps us to pay the bills. We shall talk to you again tomorrow at 12. Until then, have a wonderful day, and God bless you.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.